Wi-Fi hosting and things of that nature right here on Tuesday night on Kayak Fishing Radio. I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as a Bad Bat Cast, and good evening to everybody. Thank you for joining me. As I'm here, people are still kind of filtering in. Got the Loziers on in the chat room there. Oh man. Mark Lozier, where is everyone? I've alienated everybody. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But as they filter in, Victoria's Secret shows not till 10. That's right. I'll be checking that out right after I check out Kayak Kevin's DVD that I received in the mail today. So, looking forward to checking that out, man. That's a good fishery up there. There's some good fishing going on up there in the Yawls area up there, Virginia Beach and all that stuff, man. So I'm looking forward to watching that. Looking forward to getting up there. There's a lot of talk about a Virginia boondoggle coming up. It's either that or Venice, Louisiana. We're getting a whole lot of action from Louisiana wanting us to come up there and fish and show us how their fishery works and some of the best fishing in the world, they say. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. Anyway, I'm just kind of rambling on here. But anyway, this is a Bad Bat Cast Live, and I appreciate y'all for joining me. Love to have the Loziers on any day. So there's some good fishing folks right there, man. Excuse me. Mute button's not close enough. anyway, just want to remind everybody real quick, if you don't know already and you're not a member, check out yakangler.com. It's a, if you're into kayak fishing, that's a good resource for you. A lot of good folks on there writing and reviewing and all sorts of stuff, and it's a good social network for you. The Yak Social feature is pretty awesome. You can upload your videos and photos and all that good stuff. So we look forward to seeing you on there. It's yakangler.com. Sign up, become a member. It's fun. Great forum and great information. A lot of people really put some good information on there and ask away, and people are more than happy to answer your questions for new folks or anybody that's even been doing it for years, man. So it's a great resource for you. Also, don't forget to check out the always popular Chokoloski President's Day boondoggle happening. I know that if you listen to this show or any of the other shows, you'll know about our boondoggles, and you're like, what is that? Well, we all get together. There's a whole group of folks from Yak Angler and the radio shows here and everything, and we're all excited about getting together and hanging out for a couple of days and going fishing in little plastic boats, chasing fish, fixing some food, going camping. So it's always a good time, man. We've had a couple of them so far. 2.5 boondoggles, to be exact, and they're a lot of fun. I don't know if you would count the Lake Hardy boondoggle or as a boondoggle, the Lake Hardy Yak Angler Fishing Tournament thing a couple of years ago. Oh, man, everybody's out there freezing. You see all the pictures. Everybody's huddled up, getting ready to launch their kayaks, freezing. I wasn't at that one, but and then they're fishing in what basically looks like chocolate milk. So it's pretty awesome. Wow, really? Hold on 1 second, please. Let me Okay, thank you. Apologize for that. Area code 336. You're on the air with Kayak Fishing Radio. How you doing?
Whoa. Testicles, that's all I...
Later. Wow. Yeah. You know how that goes. That's okay, though. But anyway, wow, man, it's going crazy around here. No, I'm not at the 7-Eleven. Okay. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, so the boondoggle, if you're interested in that, go ahead and head back to the on the boondoggle page right here on kayakfishingradio.com. And yeah, we'll have a lot of fun with it, man. Get the information there, get the information on Yak Angler. I know this guy isn't gonna blast me with some profanity. What's up, Chuck?
Beep.
Yeah, things are getting kind of crazy around here tonight, man. How you doing?
Can you blast me with profanity?
In a manner of speaking. Hey, how you, Chuck, Redfish Chuck here. He's the Monday Night Show host right here on Kayak Fishing Radio. Good to hear from you, Chuck. How are things?
Things are well, sir, as well as can be expected.
Good deal, man, good deal. Oh, man. Man, oh man, oh man. Yeah, I'm having a rough night tonight, Chuck. I'm glad that you called. So anyway, yeah. So I was just talking about the boondoggle and everything, and we are on track again right here on the show. I sent you over your new intro music. Let me know how you think about it later. What you think about it, and
cool.
Yeah. You know, I can do some voiceover stuff for it too if you want. You just got to tell me what you want on it. Sorry, I'm not. I'm gonna get off topic there, so I don't want to get too far into it. But I hope you like it, and let me know what I need to fix on it. Look, the 404, always the ATL calling in. That would be Mr. Gibson. What's happening, sir?
Peace, man. What's going on?
Nothing. I know. I got the Loziers in the chat room, man. I'm always good to have them in there. Ah, I'm doing good. How are you? You cold enough there yet?
I think we're looking at about 42 degrees outside right now.
Jeez.
35. Yeah. We're
too
down to 35 now.
Too cold for me.
Yep.
Yeah. So you in the chat room? You the co-host?
Yep. Just got in there, man.
Okay, good. Awesome. Hopefully you'll screen for me if you can. And so anyway, yeah, so we got the boondoggle coming up. I'm excited about it. I know Chuck's excited about it. But let's get to the subject here at hand, which is I was going to talk about at least one of my favorite species, if not two, to catch this time of year. Because they're big, they're prowling on the flats. And for me, they're relatively easy to catch. It's probably the sought-after species that I have the most success with catching, and that would be the big spotted sea trout. Now, a lot of people say, and just to clarify, on the west coast of Florida, you know, anything 20, 25 inches is a big fish for this coast, okay? Now, over on Chuck's neck of the woods and over there by D and everything, the trout get bigger for some reason. Probably a lot more bait, a lot more fish, I don't know. Anyway, they get these up to, you know, 35-inch fish up there, and those are just absolute monsters. And right now is the time of year to catch them. That's a great time of year to target those. And where can you find them? And we were kind of talking about that. And I got an email the other day from my buddy Tyler in Sarasota. And he's like, you know, I hear you talking about fishing potholes. And what is a pothole? And how do you fish it? You know? Okay. Well, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But the spotted sea trout, right now is the time to catch them, to target them. They're prowling, they're feeding. When the weather cools down a little bit, the water temperature cools down a little bit, you'll probably a good place to catch those, or to, at least to target them, are going to be, you know, maybe deeper grass flats. And then once the water temp cools down even more a little bit, probably to the 65 degree range, they'll go a little bit shallower, and they'll be in the 2-foot flats. Instead of the 4 and 5 foot flats, grass flats, they'll be in the 2-foot flats. And, you know, hanging around potholes and stuff like that. So it makes it easy, and I say that with a grain, because it's never easy catching these things. Just ask D. Probably D. Kaminsky is probably one of the masters at catching, that I know anyway, that is very consistent about catching big trout over there. And she sight fishes for them, man. She sees them in holes and delivers something right to them, man. And I don't know too many people that could oh my God. I don't know too many people that can you know, consistently catch big trout like she does, man. Wow. Mrs. Lozier, the dog is eating my rug. That's not good. And Mark Lozier says, my favorite grass flats and potholes. There you go. That's top water. There you go. Even this time of year, Mark, that's surprising. I wouldn't really think that big trout would be on top water this time of year. That's awesome. Wow, 12 inches of water. That's great. This is a great time of year to catch this stuff, man. The flats are alive right now. Now, the other day, on the windy day, God, we're out there, and it was just absolutely, it was, you know, we get out there, we launched, the wind forecast was 8 to 12 miles an hour out of the east, and it was more like 20 to 25 out of the south. Wasn't doing that. I don't have a wind soundbite, unfortunately. But anyway, so we get to the launch, you know, the kayak put in, we get out of the truck, and it's just like, you know, just blowing. And it's like, wow, man. And I was like, yeah, that's what I was saying. So, but anyway, we went, and it wasn't too wavy, it was just really windy. And luckily the wind was pushing us where we wanted to go. But man, I was cruising. I mean, the wind was just pushing me across the flat, pushing us across the flat, like, really fast. I mean, you know, you look down and you see this. Uh-oh. Yeah, it was the wild thing going on. That's right. I keep forgetting that Chuck is in the, or that Chip is in the, in the studio there. Anyway, we're like cruising across the flat. You know, when you look down and you just see the grass just going by underneath you, you know. So deployed our drift anchors to kind of slow us down a little bit. And Where we found the fish, now when we first launched, the water clarity was poor. I thought it was really, it was kind of muddy, kind of murky. And I thought, man, you know, so I put on the white curly tail jig. And we were kind of drifting through these potholes in about 2 feet of water. And, you know, I'm kind of casting to them. And we'll get to fish in the potholes a little bit later. And there was fish in there, but they were needle fish and hound fish and lizard fish. I caught probably the biggest lizard fish of my career so far. And I didn't know that those things got up to like 12 and 14 inches long. But that was a specimen, man. It was the lizard fish trophy, definitely, right there, buddy. So there was no trout home in the 2 foot potholes. So we drifted into some deeper water, about 4.5, 5 foot. Saw a really nice, first I saw a bonnethead shark about 3 foot long. And, you know, those are fun to play with if you can get them to eat. I've had them eat curly-tailed jigs before. Calm down, Lace. Sorry. No. She sees a cat outside, so she's kind of, that's her, like her favorite thing to catch. No. Sorry, God, man, I'm never going to get done with my show. My show is just a disaster tonight. Hey.
We're here for you, buddy.
I know, I understand. I'm going to beat me some doggies here. That's right. And that's exactly what it sounds like when you do hook one of those bonnet heads, man. Those are fun. We've gotten them to eat a jig before a couple of times. And they're fun to catch, but that's it. They're not fun to take off the hook or anything like that, so definitely be careful. Otherwise, they might be calling you Frankie Four Fingers. So, anyway, saw one of those. Couldn't get it interested in anything, so a little while later, probably about 10 minutes later, on the same flat, I thought it was the bonnet head again. And sometimes they kind of have that little brassy color to them. Not shiny, but just kind of the same, kind of an off bronzy yellow color. And I saw the same thing, and it was about the same size. And I looked closer, and sure enough, it was a redfish, man. So it was a pretty big redfish that we snuck up on. And that's my tactic for fishing I love to drift those grass flats like that. Kind of silently go across that grass flat and cast in at things that you might see. That's right. It's the ninja style, man. That's right. Got to do it that way. And ended up caught a I would say probably about a 19 or 20 inch trout. Yeah. Oh yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. They get bigger. And as I'm there, you know, as I'm pulling him in, I'm turning the camera on. I got like one hand on the rod, kind of trying to keep some pressure on it. And, you know, I'm turning on the camera on my head. He comes unbuttoned right at the boat, man, right when I was getting the camera turned on. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I saw that and I was like, oh, man, come on. That's what I said. So, but a few minutes later, got another one probably about 14, 15 inches. Got tangled up in my anchor rope. I mean, it was just a disaster, you know. And then, you know, a guy, I'm in the no motor zone, and the guy motors up to me with his trolling motor in his boat. 10 feet, you know, I'm fishing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm fishing, and this guy motors up about 10 feet away from me, and he's like, hey, you catching anything? And I'm like, you know, I was. What's it to you? You know, I mean, come on. It was just kind of, I don't usually have a bad attitude like that, but some days I can be kind of cranky out there. Don't mistake me for other people that live in Florida in the Bay Area here. That's right.
Yeah. in rare form tonight.
I know it. I know it. Thanks a lot, guys. But anyway, so caught up with my buddy. I was just tired. The wind just beat me to death. I mean, you know, you're going into this 20-mile-an-hour gale, and you got to basically, it was almost like Jacksonville. You know, remember, Chip, when we were paddling up the creek, and it was like some of those corners you really had to paddle as, yeah, you had to paddle as hard as you, fast as you could, or else you were going backwards. So, you know, after a while of doing that, man, I had to go hide behind the island and eat some lunch, man. And that's when Keith decided to catch a nice 20-inch redfish, man. That was a lot of fun. Started pulling drag and really cool. If you watched my latest video, you didn't see the fish because I managed to, my awesome camera skills, managed to not get the fish in one frame of film. But anyway, you did see mine that was hooked up to the anchor rope, and that was cool. And then Keith managed about a 24-inch trout, which is very, very nice. So it was a good day, even though it was windy, and we met some minor challenges, we still had a good day on the water. So, yay! That's right. That's right. So I apologize for the bad video. But at least I'm out doing it, and I'm happy, and it's fun. It's fun editing up all that stuff. Until I get home and I start looking at the footage, and I'm like, oh, man, come on. It's one thing on my Christmas list is one of those LCD backpacks for my GoPro so I can actually see stuff I'm shooting. So anyway, it was fun. So we're talking about targeting grass flats, and basically, the tactic is this: drift the grass flat silently, if you can. I was using the DOA curly tails in white, and I was using white and an orange tail, and I was using gold. All the garbage fish loved all of those colors, but I switched over to a brown root beer colored DOA shad tail. Cow shad, and as soon as I switched that thing, the fish started eating. So it might have been a water clarity thing, I don't know. When we reached the deeper grass flats, the water clarity was actually much better. It was really strange. When we were in the shallower stuff, the two foot deep stuff, it was very murky and not quite chocolate milk, but it was pretty murky. And once we got past that, water clarity was quite a bit better. So anyway, that was how we catch them. Another tactic is in the 2 foot grass flats, you can see those potholes. And for Tyler in Sarasota, when you're looking for potholes, basically, let's say your areas where the grass is brown and kind of brownish green, and you can see it, and then you see like a big blonde splotch right in the middle of that, that's a pothole. That's basically sand and or mud or something like that, depending on the area that you're fishing. And what you do is what I like to do is cast past the hole. Now, anybody here, I'm going to ask Chuck about fishing potholes there. And what you do is you cast past the hole with spinning gear. I cast past the hole and swim it up to the hole and then drop it right into the bottom, and usually that's when it gets eaten by a nice hungry 20-inch trout or something, or a dink, one of the two. But fly fishing, you really have to be accurate with it, because you don't want to cast past the hole and swim it in, because you'll line the hole and spook the fish. So definitely you want to be accurate with that. Practice your casting in the backyard, your accuracy fly casting, if you're going to fly fish for trout in potholes. What do you think, Chuck?
Hey, you're going to bring the buggy whip to the boondoggle?
Yeah, sure. As long as it's not too windy. I should have just tied it up in a knot if I brought it with me Saturday.
Yeah. It was super windy.
I will have several buggy whips with me, sir.
Very good. You going to leave the stranded stuff at home? I challenge you to just bring fly gear.
Okay.
Yeah?
I know sure. Dee Kelly is only going to have fly gear.
Well, that's all. I don't think she's touched a spinning rod in years, man.
No. So she said, great. I mean, the other day she posted a trout and then a redfish and then a flounder. And I'm like, flounder? Did you switch gear? Nope, sinking tip. So on a fly rod.
Awesome. That's an art too, man, the sink tip. I haven't graduated past the weight forward floating line. give me a sink tip and I'll just like make a mess. the paddling fan. Hey, speaking of the paddling fan, Jerry, I met up with her and her husband, paddling fan Bob, at the always popular Dunedin Brewery in Dunedin, which is right down the road from me. And we had a bite to eat and a couple of quality adult beverages there. And even though Jerry didn't, she doesn't like beer. But that's okay. And we had a good night, man. So if you haven't experienced the Dunedin Brewery and you're in the area, that is the probably Rob's unofficial official beer of Kayak Fishing Radio is the always popular raspberry wheat ale from the Dunedin Brewery. Thank you. Thank you. No, that's an excellent spot, man, if you really like home-crafted beer and just good beer overall. That place is awesome. You can buy them sometimes. You can find them in little convenience stores and stuff like that. But it doesn't. In the bottles, they sell pint bottles, and it just doesn't do it justice. You definitely got to go get a fresh one at the brewery, man. So thank you, Jerry, for coming out, and it was awesome. And to answer your question, what weight jig were you using? 9 times out of 10, when I'm fishing flats and stuff like that, and this is just my personal preference, I like to use 1/16 ounce. Sometimes they're hard to find. I use Wahoo jig heads. Basically, they're very similar to Slayer jig heads. I'm not going to say that they're exactly the same or anything like that because I don't want them to take exception to it. The reason I use it is because it's very they're actually a little bit more affordable than the Slayers, and I'm not saying anything bad about that product. I think that's a great product. But for me personally, I lose enough jig heads to if I had to constantly buy them, and like I do, I wouldn't be able to afford the Slayers. That's just me, though. Basically, I can get a 3-pack for about $3.49 at any of your. A lot of people carry them. They make them right there in Punta Gorda, and they're great, man. I never have the paint chip off of those ever, and they have a very strong hook and a nice small barb that you can actually that I like to pinch down on them. I'll use quarter ounce jig heads once in a while if I'm a little bit deeper water, but I like the 1/16 ounce because it kind of slows everything down a little bit. It doesn't dive right into the bottom, and that's what I like. Mark Lozier says fruit is not for beer. I don't know. Sometimes I'm on the fence with that sometimes, Mark, because sometimes I'm not in the mood for a fruity beer either. However, you got to give it a shot sometime. If you're ever over here, you look up the Dunedin Brewery, man. Orange beer. You got to be talking about either Shock Top, which is an acceptable Bad Back Cast beer, and Blue Moon. Yeah, they're okay. I like citrusy beers. But anyway, I like beer that tastes like beer. I like the fruity stuff once in a while. But once in a while, I like a nice wheat ale that's not fruity either. And I know that Chuck's favorite is the Key West. What is it? Key West wheat ale or Is that, that's a wheat ale, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Key West. That's, it's not bad. Hurricane Reef is another Bad Badcast favorite. You can find that from time to time, and that's fairly tasty. Does have a little bit of an aftertaste to it, though. Is my only issue with the Hurricane Reefs. But they're still good. Once in a while at the ball game over here, the Clearwater Threshers, you go over there and they'll have that in stock. Yeah, Blue Moon. All right. Well, anyway, that was... so, Chuck, how would you fish potholes?
Well, pretty much the same way that you said that you do.
Yeah.
The only thing different for me over here, I usually tend to target redfish that are laid in potholes or black drum or sheephead. When I'm targeting big trout over here, the key in the wintertime is the longest cast you can possibly make. It doesn't matter what direction. And just work as much water as you can, because the water here is so clean. Those big gator trout, man, they'll see you coming. And if you can see them, they've already saw you for the most part, and you're done. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of big gator trout I've caught in my life so far, I've never watched one eat a soft plastic in a pothole.
No?
So, nope. Every one that I've ever caught has always been on a super long cast, or on a top water plug or something like that. But on soft plastics, it's always been on a super long cast. And my go-to bait, and I hate to admit it, but my go-to bait in the wintertime for big gator trout is either a pearl-colored or a root beer gold flake gold jerk shad, rigged weedless on a 4-0 Mission Fishing 1/16 ounce weedless worm hook.
Hmm.
Yeah. But and just to add to that a little tidbit, if you've never caught a big gator trout, anyone listening, their mouths tend to be a little soft, and using braided line with fluorocarbon leaders can result in hook pulls. So what I do, if I'm definitely looking for big trout, is I'll switch from fluorocarbon back to just regular old monofilament, and I'll fish 12 to 15 pound mono as far as a leader, because it's got a lot more stretch. It's a lot more forgiving, and those big gator trout like to shake their heads quite a bit, so I tend not to pull so many hooks that way.
Yeah, I do. The thing that I found is to, you got to, once you have, and a lot of times I can't tell if it's a trout. Sometimes I can, right off the bat, but usually I try to keep some pressure on it and get it in fast. You know, I try to keep pressure, and I'm not talking, I'm not trying to jerk the lips off the thing, but I try to keep some pressure on it, because they do have that very soft mouth that does rip open, that can, you're right, you get some hook pulls that way, or they shake off, one of the two.
Yeah.
But, the answer to that is to keep pressure on the fish. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Also, too, for me, anytime I fish the flats in the winter, I'm always looking for those potholes. I like to be around those areas. You guys got to see how deep some of our potholes can be over here, and they're pretty easy to spot from a long way away. And with the right set of polarized glasses, you can usually pick out some sort of a shadow laying in the pothole. I have been fooled on more than one occasion by a stick, but, that's aggravating. You sit there and cast at a stick for 15 minutes and realize it's a stick.
Yeah. I got to say that probably 99% of the time I never see the big trout. And it's because I pretty much zone fish. It's what I call zone fishing, is where, basically I'm drifting and I'm casting out in front of me, right? And I'm casting out in front of me, and, I'll start at like 9 o'clock and work my way around, as I'm going. And you never know when you might find that little, and a lot of times I always got to know, what's holding the fish here? What is it? And a lot of times, it might be a prop scar, or it might be, an oyster bar that, or a sandbar that just kind of runs out, something to give it, give the fish a current break. It might be, you know, or something for them to hide behind that they can come out and, you know, nail something. That's one thing. I'm always curious. You know, whenever I catch fish, I always like to look and see where, you know, what was holding the fish there. You know, was it a piece of structure? Was it a bunch of bait? You know, what exactly was there to hold the fish there? Now, when we were sitting behind the lee island, or, you know, on the lee side of the island out of the wind the other day, and Keith catches this redfish. Okay, it's got mangroves all over this island, right? And basically what we were doing, it's a series of islands. It's like dot, 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 dot. If you look at it on the map, that's what it looks like. And it just goes right up the intercoastal. And what we were doing was we were kind of fishing around the islands, the ones that had like deeper edges to them. And basically how this mangrove shoreline looked on these islands was you have mangrove prop roots coming down into the water. And then you have right off of that, probably about a foot off of that, was an oyster bar, right? And that stuck out probably from the shoreline 3, 4, 6 feet, right? And then once you get past that, and that was like pretty much like maybe 2 inches deep across that thing, and then it would kind of drop off a little bit down to probably maybe 3 feet, and it forms like a little trench around, you know, especially on the east side of these islands for some reason. I don't know if it had something to do with the current or the tide or the wind or, you know, whatever. But anyway, I found on the east, northeast sides of these islands was a little bit of a deep little hole. And that's where I was looking for the redfish. And we were casting basically up to the mangroves, the edge of that oyster bar, and kind of swimming stuff into that trench. Well, you know, we're basically within casting range of that trench. Well, on the other side was really shallow. Basically, Chuck, this looks like your area. It's about a foot deep. And you can see these potholes. They look like craters, like moon craters or something. Basically, you have like really thick grass, turtle grass, and then like a hole right in the middle of, you know, just as you're going along, it's like moon craters, right? Just like that area that day that we saw the gator over there in your neck of the woods there, Chuck, and we were paddling back and we were harassing the clone, playing bumper boats with the clone. It's like exactly like that area.
Oh, sweet.
And there was like tons of mullet, you know, there was a lot of mullet action, and these are full grown mullet, you know, like 20 inch mullet, you know, jumping and making a commotion and all that stuff. And basically Keith was casting over on that side, and I'm thinking to myself, he's not going to catch anything casting on that side. That's just mullet and, you know, 1 foot deep, if that, you know. You need to be, you know, concentrating on this trench right here in front of us, you know, on the lee side of this island. And sure enough, man, this thing, he hooks a, you know, he caught a 20-inch redfish, you know. it was pretty comical, I thought. So anyway, where else do you find, you know, that really surprised me the other day when I was at Weedon Island fishing those mangroves. And it's kind of, you know, backcountry and kind of not where I would expect to find a gator trout back there, man. And sure enough, I caught a really nice trout back there on a really deep edge. I mean, this was like a 12-foot deep edge right off the edge of a mangrove. And I had no idea that it's the last kind of fish I would expect to find over there. Where else can you find gator trout in the wintertime or this time of year, Chuck? Are you still there?
Sorry, I was on mute. I was in the middle of chewing.
Okay.
I was going to say, trout, big gator trout. I'll tell you what, man, we've got a spot in the Mosquito Lagoon that's it's probably one of the deeper holes in the entire lagoon. It's about 15 to 20 foot deep, depending upon what side you're on. And believe it or not, I know guys that will fish miradines or twitching wraps through that deep hole. In the middle of the wintertime, first thing in the morning before the sun even comes up, and this big gator trout will lay down there towards the bottom. If you let that miradine sink about 3 or 4 feet down and start twitching it nice and slow, just kind of walk it real slow, man, they tear them up in that hole. Deep holes obviously hold a little bit more heat than the flat will. So always look for deep holes if you've got some around you. I'll tell you what also holds some big trout too, believe it or not, is bridges. And around bridge pilings, a lot of folks kind of overlook bridges as far as a trout fishery, but, I mean, there's bait there, there's structure there, there's everything that they need, current, there's everything they need is right there at the bridge, so it's something not to overlook, especially in the wintertime, because those concrete beams will even hold heat in the afternoon, I mean, in the later evenings as the sun's been blaring down on them all day, believe it or not, those things are almost like a... like an insulated heating lamp. They'll keep that water right around those pilings a little bit warmer than the rest of it. So I've pulled some big 20, 25-inch trout off of bridges before.
Hmm. That's like a wintertime tactic? I wouldn't think about looking for them around there.
Yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things. They're not always there, but, man, when they're there, they can be thick. There's only a few other occasions where I've caught multiple 20-inch trout in one spot, and bridges is one of them. So.
Hmm. Yeah, that was quite a surprise there in those mangroves, man. That was just not a fish I was expecting to see, you know. Yeah, you know, fish, I always find that they surprise you, man. You know, just when you're thinking about, you know, you think you know what you're going to be doing, you know, they always prove you wrong, you know. So anyway, yeah, so I got to take you out to some of these areas sometimes, Chuck. So, you know, anytime that you're in town, feel free, come on over and we'll hit. I know you would love Whedon Island, man. You'd be like, yeah, it's very very similar to like Pine Island / Matt Lachey kind of little backwater stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah. So what else is going on, Chuck? You got any plans this week fishing wise?
Well, I'm praying right now to the almighty UPS or FedEx or whoever gods that my Jackson kayaks show up this week, and definitely want to get those things out on the water and do some serious fishing and filming and picture taken and so on and so forth.
Good deal.
We've got some other things we're dealing with right now with our youngest, Logan, still. So, you know,
okay.
Whenever I can find time to squeeze that in between all the doctor's appointments and
sure.
specialist appointments and this, that, and the other, then, yeah, for sure. I can definitely use the mental relaxation time. So,
got to take care of the kiddos, man.
Absolutely.
Chipster, man, how you doing? What's going on with you? You got anything to add to the gator trout conversation there?
No, we caught a few up in the Panhandle this weekend. You know, we were there in Pensacola, and but it was so windy, and the trout I don't think care too much for the wind. So when it laid down in the evening and stuff, there were some dock lights that you could cast to, and, you know, little DOA shrimp action there, and they would, you know, some little dinks would take it. They were like, you know, 8-10 inchers, but it was fun. I mean, there were some folks out there using way too big gear, and, you know, when I saw that there wasn't anything big moving around out there, we just downsized, put like a number one circle hook on, started playing, you know, we had our mini tournament, you know, who could catch the most little fish.
So, those are fun. So you had a run-in with the squidders out there, eh?
Well, it's just those big giant pyramid sinkers, you know, and 10-foot fishing rods, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, buddy. Oh, man.
So.
I got to tell you, I've done that before. I remember God, back in the day, I took some bass fishing gear and some, you know, one of those Walmart, you know, the big white Walmart surf casting rigs, you know, with like, I don't know, man, it's got like a 6,000 size reel, you know, spinning reel on it, and you know, comes loaded with 15-pound monofilament. And yeah, I went out there to the Skyway Bridge, and it was in February, cold as heck, windy as heck. And I never liked the pyramid sinkers, you know, rigs with the with all the, you know, has like the orange and green beads on it and stuff. Never liked any of that. I always used egg sinkers and steel leaders, man. So, you know, you get you a couple of egg sinkers on there, and you tie them on there, and you right above the swivel, and you put a big old hunk of squid on there on like a 5-aught hook, and just, you know, toss it out there. And lo and behold, I caught like the biggest sail cat I've ever seen. I mean, I'm not kidding you. That thing had to be like 8 pounds. It was a riot, man. And so that kind of, you know, really got me into, part of what really got me into saltwater fishing, and I kind of left the greenfish alone. Oh, man. I got a job in front of me. Chuck's bummed because the Australian guy has the same intro music as his show on WFN. What's that, Bill Berg or whatever that guy's name is? So I got to put Chuck together a new intro for his show. Anybody? Bueller?
Because you're a good American.
That's right. I don't...
You're talented, sir. People like you.
All right. The show's... it's been a wild one tonight, folks. And I appreciate everybody for hanging in there. And I appreciate everybody for coming in. We got the Black Fly Guy. We got Mark Lozier, Paddling Fan, and Mrs. Lozier, Chris, in the chat room. And I appreciate everybody for listening. Oh, yeah, on the fly stuff. Don't forget now. You know, it might not be their most their favorite thing to eat or anything like that, but when you're fishing for redfish on these same flats in these same areas where we were just talking about with the big trout, trout will eat crabs too, believe it or not. Now, it might not be their preferred thing, but if you ever actually see, if you ever actually had one of these big trout in your hand, and you look at, man, those things got a big mouth on them like a greenfish, man. Those things could probably eat just about anything. So definitely don't be afraid to throw a little merkin or a, you know, mangrove muddler or something like that to these fish, man. They're not afraid to eat that kind of stuff. Look at Aaron Adams' website, which is fishermanscoast.com. And look at his flies. He has some awesome crab flies on there. and those are the ones that you want, those are the things that you want to use right now. Fishing around mangroves and stuff like that. Little crab flies. Anything that imitates a hermit crab, a fiddler crab, anything like that. And I highly recommend both of his books, both Fisherman's Coast and Fly Fisherman's Guide to Saltwater Prey. Game fish and their prey species, or I don't know, I always bugger up the title of that book, man. So yeah, for all of the folks with the long stick and the buggy whip, those are all sorts of stuff, and smaller the better. Smaller stuff, you don't want to go teeny with this stuff, but I would say number one size flies are the way, are the ticket. And outside of that, I don't know what else to tell you, man. I tell you everything I know. But I appreciate everybody for listening. And don't forget the President's Day boondoggle coming up. Make sure you check out all of the information on that. That is on kayakfishingradio.com under boondoggle, and also yakangler.com under events. Don't forget to check out yakangler.com if you're into kayak fishing and stuff like that. That's the place to be. Listen to Chuck's show. Listen to Chip's show. Listen to The Landing Crew tomorrow night right here on the same network. And Friday night, the West Coast Spike and Ike spectacle, the great, crazy show that is Spike and Ike from the West Coast. If you want to talk about fish that look like giant oyster toad fish that they catch out there all the time, and white sea bass and all sorts of, oh, just crazy, crazy fish, that's the place to be on Friday nights. 8 p.m. Eastern, I don't know, 5, 6, 4 Pacific, whatever time it is. I don't know. I'm never good at math. I'm like John Madden with math. I need an onside kick and a field goal and a touchdown and a two-point Oh, wait. Yeah, I know. Math is never my strong suit. But anyway, that's 8 o'clock minus 4. So whatever time that is on the West Coast. Listen to those guys. So outside of that, that's all I know. And I'm going to leave you guys tonight. And we're going to listen to a little bit of the Buzzards Row. It's a fun little song. It's a little ditty. And it kind of reminds me of all of my friends listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. So until next time, I'm your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as the Bad Bat Cast. And y'all have a good one. And I'll see you on the flip side. Later.